This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
There is a queer angle to every issue, and we will find it. Don't expect us to be nice. Don't expect it to be safe. And don't expect us to be politically correct. Nothing is sacred. We find the queer, profane, and cringeworthy wherever we can, here on Joy 94.9. Is nothing sacred?
What is about? There's something evolving.
I am Robert Gibbs from 3MBS, and you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred here on Joy Radiothon 94.9.
Hello and welcome. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Robert. We love having our partners from other community radio stations on with us, and we particularly love having Robert on because he unfortunately for him, he sent us an email a couple of weeks ago that said that he loved this show. So we thought he is the perfect radiothon guest for us, and here he is. And welcome, Robert.
Well, thank you. But and I would like to say that this particular program is the reason why I subscribe to Joy and why I'll be resubscribing to the station. So I'd like to encourage other people who are sitting at home to not just look at that telephone, but to pick it up.
1-300-JOY-949 or go on air at joy.org.au and send us a message. Or you could just go online at joy.org.au, click on the link that takes you through to membership and join up. Look, you've only got to win two prizes and you've got your money back. And you can win a prize every week, every 7 days now.
And this week is a great time to join up because you will go into the running
for a prize,
a massive prize, which is a smart car from Mercedes-Benz, which is super fancy.
Mercedes-Benz Berwick, which super apparently is fancy. Only 24 minutes or 26 minutes from the end of the Burnley tunnel if you're driving out of town. And so it's worth over $21,000. So a smart car for two would be quite a nice prize.
I have to ask, Robert, because I guess, you know, we've been coming here every week for probably about 2 years now, and we like chatting to each other. We like getting in guests that we want to talk to. What is it about the show that you like?
It's quite simple, really. What I love is there are very few other shows that will take a mainstream sort of topic. And, for example, I think recently to the discussion around the budget and look for not necessarily a queer element to it, but who look at it from a different point of view. And the guest that you had that particular week, I think, was ex-editor from Canberra Times. Now, that was just riveting radio to me. And so, hence, I sent in the email, and it's why I'll be resubscribing and also donating to the station.
We love you. We're sending you straight out the front after this to join up, because you can join up with Robert on the front desk. Look, so make sure you've got your credit card out as you're walking out of the door.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's that particular aspect. It's where there are subjects that, and I know you also touch on other subjects that may perhaps be a little, you know, difficult for other programs, and for that you're to be totally applauded. But I do like the fact that you also take mainstream sort of topics and look at them from the queer aspect.
Well, thank you, and we like MBS too because we actually like the fact that MBS does not just do the... Well, it's not a gay radio station, is it? Well, it is. It is in a way. I tell you, I had a friend for who a long time was a presenter there, so gay that he could hardly stand up straight, and he had the best collection of classical music of anybody I've ever known. He had walls and walls of CDs and iPods full of classical music, all of which he used to play.
Well, we've just gone through our own radiothon for the last 10 days.
And was it good? Did you make it?
It was very successful. And good. What was pleasant and surprising about it was not only did we meet, you know, sort of targets around subscription numbers and memberships, but we also received a tremendous amount of donations and support, that financial support, from members of the community who love supporting Melbourne fine music and artists who live and work in Melbourne. And there's quite a lot of crossover, if I can use that term, between musicians and so on that perform and are broadcast on Joy to those that actually appear on our station as well.
And, of course, we do have our own Queen of the Night on Sunday nights at 6 o'clock, Tim Perry, who plays...
Absolutely.
Not unlike MBS.
Oh, I think
if you're listening, Tim... Good luck to you and your program, which is fantastic.
It is. It's a wonderful program.
And if everybody else is listening, we want you to do is get on the phone and radiothon in your membership or renew your membership. And if you've got a bit of money left over, do donate it to us because it's tax deductible and it's the 30th of June and tax time coming up. And if you've got a little bit of money left over after that, go to MBS and join them as well. You. That would be good.
Thank you.
So that all the community radio stations that remain strong and on air and vital.
I'm just looking at the various prices. I mean, for a concession subscription or membership of the station, $36. I mean, that's very, very reasonable when you think that it's, what's that, 80 cents or 70 cents a week?
Well, considering this week you could win the car, which is $21,000 worth, or you could win DVDs, which we're always giving away DVDs of things. Last week we gave away DVDs of Pride, the movie Pride. We give away CDs all the time. We often give away double movie passes and double passes to shows like the musicals that are on in town. Mm. So we had a week where we were giving away tickets to Dirty Dancing and to Strictly Ballroom. So you know you've only got to win one of those, and even at the individual membership cost of $72. You've got your money back in no time flat.
I think the other thing about membership is that, it lets you vote, but also I think sometimes people assume that community radio is kind of indirectly run by government and that we get recurrent government funding, and which is just not true. Like, we get individual grants for individual projects.
Well, now we'll spill the beans. But, you are on the board, Steph. Tell us, how much a day does it cost to run Joy?
I think it's $3,000 a day, yeah. And that includes all of the equipment, which, of course, the wear and tear and paying for the lights. And because we have a small number of staff here, quite a small number. Most of them aren't full-time. And we have almost 300 volunteers. So not much of it spent on staff
and
time.
Then we have the Joy Volunteer Widows. Hello, Eddie. Hello, Glenn.
I'm not dead yet, thanks very much, Jim.
No, I know, but you've been here an awful lot of the time.
That's true. Yes, you're right, Jim. So I am on the board.
Oh, and
that's
Patrick
given
wants
me
to
a
say
new
hello to Gin and Tonic. And Patrick's here tonight too. That's the other great
hello,
thing.
Hello, Patrick.
Hello, guys.
It's so good to have you back.
It's marvellous. It's really wonderful coming back. It's a little bit like returning to a hometown that you actually like. It's very, very unusual circumstance for me. So, and I must say...
We didn't spank you too much,
No, I spanked you, if anything. I must say, Robert, thank you. Your words actually about Is Nothing Sacred really touched me because, you know, I was in the formation of this show. We worked very hard on it. So especially seeing response from other community radio stations and dedicated listeners to like yourself, that is an incredibly humbling experience for someone who, you know, alongside, of course, Steph and Jim and James and Kurt and Claire now and everyone who has been involved in the show, it's very, very wonderful to see that our work is being... basically, it is being well received, considering that we are basically fighting with Q&A's time slot.
But also,
bastards.
You know, like, it is called Is Nothing Sacred. We are troublemakers, and so we have these conversations.
We're
in
habitually
this...
known as the troublemakers here, aren't we? I'm just the loudmouth and the pretty skirts. It's just fine.
Yeah, and I suppose that's the thing when you're trying to push the line and stay within the community.
And it's always challenging, but luckily I think, especially with the way that the show has continued progressing since I've left for Lefty Pinko's Mondays at 7:30.
Now that is a show that's worth listening to, people.
It is, but we might be taking a little break soon. But I've got a new program that is hopefully going to be... what's the word? Approved. Nudge, nudge, woman in the programming committee. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm not going to blackmail you about those photos that you appeared in that time. Remember
on air.
That? On air, yes.
No, but you are looking dashing as always, Patrick.
Thank you
very
much.
Anyone who is not in the studio, he is wearing a shirt which is sparkling, literally glittery sparkles.
And you
sparkles.
Know the funny thing is, it's actually an Armani shirt, and he says that we shouldn't dress gay. I mean, honey, I shouldn't dress Italian, I think is the correct term for that. But I also think it's funny with this kind of sparkly shirt because it can be a little bit difficult. I am a hazard for oncoming air traffic.
Speaking
You'd be
of
a
Joy,
for TV
did anyone else see Joy was actually in, I think it was the Sydney Morning Herald today or yesterday, named as, quote unquote, the gayest radio station in Australia?
Oh, thank God, our work has been paying off.
Finally, enough, and we say it, and I say it on the news every Friday. Here we're all is queer, the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9.
And also very well welcoming to people from gender diverse, the trans
yes.
community, everyone who identifies outside of any spectrum and binary at all.
Yes.
And I must really encourage that to people. It says it's the gayest station in the nation, and it is in many ways, but we also have a huge support from the gender diverse community as well as the same-sex attracted
yep.
community.
And we know also that we have listeners from around the world, because we've had various listeners contact us from around the world during our shows. And so welcome to you. I hope you're all listening, and you can also join.
Enjoy your morning coffee whilst you're listening to this, wherever you are. I'm just assuming it's somewhere where it's morning.
It is. It's
probably morning.
We have a listener in, we know we have a listener in LA. We know we have a listener in London.
We know we
have listeners in Dublin.
We've had
them on.
We also have a new member or renewed member. Thank you very much to Rodney from Seddon.
Oh, now down my way.
Very, very glad to have you. Thank
oh, fantastic.
You so much.
So it is Radiothon,
Rodney.
But tonight we're going to be talking Radiothon all night interspersed, but it is our usual HIV update show tonight. And so we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to have some guests coming into the studio soon to talk about that. And we're also going to play some songs, some of which are because it's Remember Rejoice Radiothon. So we're going to remember some songs that we've played, one
yes.
of which we played 2 years ago. We're going to remember that during the show, but I'm going to let Steph do that when she gets to that
it's
song.
Coming up a bit later. I feel like while Robert's in the studio, we'd love to hear a bit more from you about your views on community radio, about radiothons, about community radio
yeah.
life.
I mean, community radio, I think, is one of the most important elements of keeping us as a society and as a country. It's a great equaliser. It provides access both broadly and also for specific subjects. And I love the fact that there are something like, I think, in excess of 150 community radio stations right across Australia.
We share a spectrum with one of them.
Yes,
we
that's
share
right.
a spectrum with Maine 94.9, which is the station in Castle Maine.
Aww.
Plays a lot of country music. Hello, Castle Maine.
On your Castle Maine.
If you're listening. And we also have our queer sister shows on 3CR and on Triple R. And we've had guests from those stations with us before on this
and
show.
And 4ZZZ also is a wonderful, there's a wonderful sister show there with Blair Martin. We did an interview with him recently, that's why he's stuck in my head, but he's remarkable as well.
Absolutely. I mean, community radio provides the opportunity for access for people from whatever it is that you're coming from, whatever it is your situation, it gives you access to be able to talk and communicate to others. And to educate and inform people. So I feel that community radio absolutely is vital to the life of this country.
It's a pretty big statement.
I just want to ask one quick question before we finish up. Before we go to a lovely bit of messages is. Do you feel especially that community radio, it exists because it is supposed to be the viable alternative to the mainstream media's focus? Because sometimes I think people get lost in that discussion, is that, you know, why would I choose community radio when I can get the same thing from mainstream? Or they feel that it would be the same thing.
They just do not.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't get us on mainstream.
The fact is they do not. They don't have access to media, commercial media specifically, if we could just talk about that, is very strict. It's very formatted. It's very rigid. It's commercially driven, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And what it does is it excludes rather than includes.
And when people tell us that we're unbalanced occasionally, which they do because, you know, some of the positions we take on this show are not necessarily what you'd expect to hear.
Almost all the time I'm told I'm unbalanced.
We always say we are the balance.
Yeah.
We are the balance on this show.
We're the other side of the scale.
And I think that's what community radio offers. It offers the balance that is claimed to be on all the other radio
stations. It's quite clear. When you have commercially driven media, it is a process of exclusion because it's about trying to hone into a specific group or demographic or some sort of group and to the exclusion of others. And that is what they sell.
Which is why Radiothon is so important.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Keep us on air.
Sorry, I'm missing it. Can I do the quick finish off before we head back in? Because you're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94. I haven't said this in so long. You're listening to Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9 in Radiothon.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLB, TIQ Community Radio Station, Joy 94.9.
You are on Is Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9. This is Jim. I'm here with Claire. Hello, Claire.
Hello, Jim. How are you today? Hi. How are you?
Wasn't that a good piece of radio? And Steph. Hello, Steph.
Hello, Jim. Woo, way too loud.
And in the studio now, we've got Clovis, who's our regular once a monther. Hello, Clovis.
Hello, beautiful Jim.
And we've got Stephen Spencer.
Hello.
Hello, Stephen. He's sitting down the other end of the studio.
Just hanging out.
He's just getting ready to go out. So, boys, keep watching for him. He's going to be at the Laird later.
I will be. Be careful.
So be careful.
Something just happened on our Radiothon system. It is Radiothon, which means we are getting members, as many members as we can, to support us and Joy. And we've just been alerted that Jim from Northcote...
Which is wrong, because that's my post office box.
Oh, Jim, who has a post office box in Northcote, has just become a member. Thanks, Jim. This is very efficient multitasking.
Oh, I not only became a member, I became a family member.
With your family.
I did. Wasn't
that's
that good?
Very exciting.
Hello, Glenn. You're a member now, you can go in the competitions.
Win things. So, we have our regular guest, Clovis, in the studio. Thank you very much for joining us.
And we wanted to talk about
good
prep.
Good for having me again. Glad to be here.
We like having you here, you know that. So we want to talk about PrEP tonight, Clovis. Can you tell us what PrEP is? What does it stand for? It's an acronym that's running around the gay community like crazy at the moment.
Right, so PrEP is pre-exposure prophylaxis, which is basically you take some antiretroviral drugs similar to what people infected with HIV have been taking to suppress the viral load. And if you take it, so this is for HIV uninfected individuals.
So HIV negative people.
Yeah, HIV negative people. And if you take one pill, in this case, Truvada, you will have a very low chance of getting HIV.
And Truvada is actually a mix of two different drugs, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's a mixture of...
combination therapy.
Yeah, tenofovir and tricitabine.
And Steve, you're in the studio because you've been a bit of a community activist in this space.
I dabble.
You've been arguing for a much more accessible system for PrEP, particularly for young gay men to take PrEP. But in fact, it's quite efficacious for other people, isn't it, Clovis, as well, for women?
Yeah, so most of the studies that have been conducted so far have shown more efficacy in men compared to women. And there are a lot of factors accounting for this. Some are biological, and some are basically the fact that those women who have taken part in the studies in Africa, they have less adherence. And for PrEP to be effective, you have to be taking the pill, nothing will be effective unless you take it. So adherence.
So you have to take it every day.
Yeah, every day. There are some studies, a recent study which was presented at CROI demonstrated that men who actually take the pill 4 times per week, so around the sort of high-risk behavior period, they can actually have lower risk of acquiring HIV as well.
Which means that we should stop stigmatizing people who argue for different ways of protecting themselves and applaud people who are going to take active steps to make sure that they don't either contract the virus or pass the virus on, which is really what PrEP
is about,
allows, doesn't it? So,
so
for those people that either dislike or can't use condoms, for instance, PrEP is actually a pretty active step to take.
Definitely. We sort of talk about it in terms of having multiple tools in our belt, and this is just one incredibly effective one that people are very willing to take. So I basically say, don't judge people on how they're avoiding HIV. Applaud them for avoiding HIV.
I think that's a really good line to take. And but it's not yet approved in Australia, is it?
Well, it's approved for, and Clovis could answer this a bit better than me, but it's approved for use by HIV-positive people.
As part of a treatment regime.
Yes,
so it's
definitely.
As treatment, as prevention, it's approved. But it's not yet approved for PrEP, for pre-exposure prophylaxis.
You can get a prescription from your doctor, which is how I obtain it. So it's approved for human consumption, but it's not on the PBS yet, which is what we are campaigning for. We want it to be fully available on the PBS for people.
And we actually hear later on in the program from Dr. Vincent Cornelis, who works with Melbourne Sexual Health and a number of other organisations. He'll be talking a little bit about some of the clinical trials that are going on in Melbourne at the moment, but also how to access some of those currently. No free trials yet, but the first stage is getting some data and then hopefully on to free trials after that.
But the way that you can get it, I think, Steve, is you get a prescription from your doctor and you can fill that in an overseas online pharmacy.
Yes, you
and
can
it's legal
it.
To import it.
Yeah, you can import 3 months' worth.
Because it's been approved by the TGA as a treatment.
Yes.
Which is great news, really, and I think we should be really encouraging people to start thinking about it, talking to your doctor, talking to your treatments officer, talking to the AIDS Council, talking to Living Positive Victoria and so on, about what is the best way forward for you as an individual if you are negative and you want to avoid contracting HIV, or if you are positive and you want to add Truvada into your treatment regime because it has a pretty good record of helping push the viral load down to undetectable, doesn't it?
Yes, there are other actually more effective medication or treatment for people living with HIV. So for treating HIV infection, Truvada isn't the first choice, actually, but for users, PrEP, it has been shown to be very effective. So in general treatment regimen, you have different classes of drugs that suppress the virus, which Truvada doesn't really.
And I also wanted to add on to that, when you're talking to your doctor, if you're looking into getting a prescription, I really want to stress to negative guys that if you don't think PrEP is right for you, you don't need to get it. A lot of people are sort of, because it is the buzz of the town, you know, everyone's talking about it. And I think people are feeling a bit of pressure. And really, it's whatever works best for you. And so you need to talk with your doctor. And if your doctor says, oh, you're not really at high risk, because you are medicating yourself, you are putting medication
into
your body.
And we do know
every
day. Condoms do work.
And condoms do work 98% of the time, I think, is the official efficacy of it. But yeah, if you don't think that it's for you, and if you think that it will change your lifestyle, if you think that it'll... if it doesn't slip into your life perfectly, then perhaps it's not for you. But if you think that it will help you a lot, then absolutely go for it, 100% go for it.
If you have any other questions for Clovis and Stephen, you can SMS us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. It is, of course, Radiothon week, so we're also loving anyone who wants to remember Joy, which means...
Rejoice,
renew. I was going to say recycle. We don't do that. No, but you can re-listen. Just, yeah, become a member or become a member again. 1-300-JOY-949.
That's join your mum and dad up.
Join your mum and dad. Join your dog, everyone.
Your dog could join with you on your family membership.
That's true. So a family membership is $96. Full membership, $72. Concession, $36. If you're under 18, it's $22. And if you join this week, then you can go in the running to win a smart car.
From Mercedes-Benz Berwick, and it's a smart car for two, so it's one of those little easy to park things whizzing around. And guess what? Even though I renew tonight, I can't win it because I'm on air.
It's true, but you can win it. If you're listening and you're not on air, you can win it. So we will be back very shortly. It's 28 minutes.
You're on is nothing sacred on Joy 94.9.
It's 28 minutes past 10.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yeah, we're talking about prep and pep.
Yeah, okay.
And, yeah, who should use it? Why?
Okay. Talking, first of all, with Clovis Palmer, yep, regarding your own views on... Yep.
So I have a question for Stephen. So one of the things, so some of the guidelines for PrEP, involve sort of baseline HIV testing and daily adherence, periodic testing sort of every month for STIs and HIV checkup, and monitoring for kidney and liver function. Which of these do you think are the most difficult to adhere to?
With the prescription, a lot of doctors are only going to prescribe it to you under the requirements that you get, not monthly testing, but mm-hmm. 3-monthly testing, because that's sort of the recommended amount. And they will do baseline kidney tests and whatnot. I got a full mm-hmm. bloods done when I got my prescription. And so we're certainly going to monitor that. And that's broadly what I've heard from...
So do you find it as a bother to go in every... 3 months and...
Not at all. That is our responsibility. As gay men, that is our responsibility to go in every 3 months, and there's no excuse, really. Every 3 months, you know, 4 times a year, it's easy. It's fun. I love going down to the sexual health clinic. You bump into your friends in the waiting room and you just have a bitch. It's great.
We have a question from a listener who says, "Hey, Clovis and Steve. Stephen here. I'm puzzled. I'm taking Truvada as a pos-gay man. Why, then, does this need to be re-approved a PrEP?" Does that make sense?
Yeah, I can see what he means. He's taking, clearly, the Stephen that's called us in is taking Truvada as part of his treatments regime, and therefore his use of Truvada does not need to be approved approved as a treatment. Yep.
So we're talking about where someone's negative and is using it as a preventative.
Yeah, and that's going to be the sticking point with the TGA and getting it onto the PBS.
What's the TGA?
The Therapeutic Goods Administration, and the PBS is the...
Current work is happening at the moment, I guess, as part of your campaign to make this happen?
We've got a petition on change.org that's started by the Victorian AIDS Council, so please look that up, encouraging the TGA to get PrEP approved down under. There's a hashtag for it if anyone's...
It's been approved in the US, for instance.
Yes, and there's...
And in the UK?
Not in the UK,
not yet.
There's just overwhelming global evidence into its efficacy. We've got the demonstration trials on here to look at how it's accepted socially, but, you know, we're waiting... And we're fine to wait because there is bureaucracy around it all. But, you know, it'd be nice to sort of get it along because
HIV drugs and HIV treatments, let me tell you, having been involved in this area since the mid-80s, has been that we wait far too long and we come in last. Yes. And what we're trying to do with the AIDS Council, change.org campaign and petition is not to come in last this time, but to is when the evidence is here in Australia, and that's the evidence that Vincent's going to be talking about in a minute, and the surveillance of people like Stephen, who has chosen to do PrEP now privately, that will be evidence that will be fed into that process. And once we've got that, we should be able to make a decision based on good evidence.
So when you say we, who are the people who have to say, yes, this is what we're going to do?
The Therapeutic Goods Administration first, which is a body in Canberra, part of the... Well, it's an independent body, but it's part of the health portfolio. And they have to recommend to the minister, and the Federal Minister for Health then approves, who's the Honourable Susan Ley, and then... for it to get onto the PBS so that it becomes a PBS drug and you only pay the reduced prescription amount, it has to go through PBAC, which is the Pharmaceutical Benefits Advisory Committee, which looks at the cost benefits of keeping people well. And that's going to be a big sticking point because HIV is not a terribly expensive disease, unfortunately for us. Well, fortunately for us. And once they've recommended, they recommend to the department and the minister that it goes on to the PBS, where it becomes it's basically our free drug scheme, and then it goes on.
So is it an expensive drug? What's the cost to people at the moment to access it?
For me, importing it, the off-label version, is $110 a month, whereas purchasing it from pharmacies here, say, which... some people might do, but it's very expensive. It's how much is it on label?
About $700 to $1,000 a month.
Yep.
So it's quite expensive. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And $110 a month is not inexpensive. $110 a month.
Well, no, certainly if someone is relying on Newstart, for example, then
it's cheaper than dying.
Yes, absolutely. It's worth it, definitely. And that's why I'm a student and I have to fork out money for that. And I'm fine with that. But
just means a few beers at the Laird tonight you won't be able to have.
Well, I mean, but for some people that's not the case. Like for some people, if you're only getting, $200 a week or whatever it is, that's more than half of your income. How are you going to afford food and rent? Yeah, that's quite inaccessible.
Absolutely. And then people come up with the argument, oh, well, why can't they just buy condoms? But for many reasons, people can't comply with condom use 100% of the time for the rest of their life. And that's why we really need to sort of take a holistic and warm and happy approach to it all, and not ask them why not to take this other option, but see how we can help them with the option that they believe will work best for them.
We've just had another message come through. Another member, Robert of South Yarra. He has become an individual member with a donation. Thank you so much, Robert. I suspect that might have been Robert Gipps, our guest earlier in
the
show.
He made a donation of $178, so he rounded up.
That is
fantastic.
Extremely, extremely generous. We absolutely really appreciate that. Thank you so much, Robert. If you'd also like to become a member, you can SMS 0427 JOY 949, or even better, call Robert on the front desk, 1300 JOY 949. That's 1300 569 949. You can also go to the JOY website, www.joy.org.au, and you can
click on the link that says Radiothon members.
Yes, and if you've just tuned in, it is Radiothon week, which means if you subscribe this week, you can go in the running for great prizes, including a smart car from Mercedes-Benz.
And it's not expensive. $72 for an individual membership. It's $36 for a concessional membership. It's $22 if you're under 18. It's $96 for a family membership. And if you're a business, so if you've got an ABN, it's $165. And GST is included in that. And any donation is tax deductible, and I think for businesses it's tax deductible. Yeah.
So going back to PrEP, do we have a sense of, the reasons why it hasn't become available so far? Is it because of the trials, or are we expecting other blocks along the way? Do we think it's going to be a smooth path once we've got some data behind us?
Well, I think for Australia, it's just a matter of time, to be honest. But if we look at PrEP in sort of the bigger picture, in terms of ending the epidemic, as a lot of lobbies think it will, we have to consider that in many places, for example, in Asia, Latin America, Africa, even the people living with HIV has problem accessing care. So they still have detectable viral load because they're not taking medication. Sometimes lack of facilities, they don't have the clinics to attend.
But we should not be pessimistic about this, should we, Clovis? Because people said a few years ago that people in Africa would not be able to get treatment as prevention, and yet it's in the 90%, isn't it, in some countries now in Africa?
No. It's way the latest data, even America. People who need treatment, it's less than 50%. That's the latest data.
In
Central America as well. So sometimes we sort of focus on Africa and we leave different areas like South America and Asia, where under 40% of people who are eligible for antiretroviral therapy aren't getting it.
But I did see that both the Clinton Foundation and the Gates Foundation have got targets for 90 to 100% treatment as prevention within a very short period of time.
Yes, but the latest data presented at CROI again earlier this year showed that Australia is the only country, and I was talking to Stephen earlier about it, that Australia is the only country in the world that is anywhere close to that target. Mm. And I think we are somewhere between 78, 87, 92. So that is well ahead of the world. I personally think it's going to be a realistic target. Even America, let alone places like Asia and South Central America. So once effective way, it's biologically effective. There's no question about it. We also have to discuss ways of implementation.
But the implementation is slowed down for political reasons, isn't it? Because in the US, the big impediments are Tea Party type politicians who have fundamentalist Christian moral obligations to things, and those people are creeping into South America and Africa they're not actually creeping in, they're running in there loudly with megaphones and trying to run all those anti-gay campaigns and anti-HIV campaigns and so on, or I would call them pro-HIV campaigns, but anti-HIV treatments campaigns. And so we're a bit lucky that we've had a history of bipartisanship here.
We simply don't have that.
We don't have those awful Tea Party people.
Thank goodness.
and so really it's what should our next campaigns in Australia be as a gay community? And I think they ought to be around support for people with HIV getting access to treatments across the world. Because you can prevent the ongoing transmission of HIV either through sexual transmission or through mother-to-child transmission and so on. And those are the really important things that we have to do in this world.
Yeah. And with the proximity of Australia and the Asia-Pacific as well, even if we sort of clean up our backyard, a few miles offshore, we have people coming in.
PNG.
So, PNG, for example. So we have to also look ashore as well.
We do have to wrap up very shortly. Did anyone have any closing comments, messages for our listeners or questions?
I like to say just think about what PrEP could mean for you. Think about what it means for your friends. Think about the consequences. Think about the benefits. Talk about it with your family. A lot of people out there, especially outside of the gay community, have no idea about it. And it's quite amazing talking to your straight friends about it, because you tell them, oh, here's this pill. It stops me from getting HIV. It's essentially a daily vaccination. And they say, wow, that's a miracle. Why doesn't everyone know about this? And that's the way to look at it. It's going to get us very far. It's going to do very good things for us.
Mind you were doing quite well on the 7:30 report the other night, putting that point forward.
Yeah, definitely. And that was sort of the first time it reached quite a large audience, quite a large mainstream Australian audience. And we're only going to get louder, and we need to approach it from a very positive perspective so that mainstream Australia can come on this journey with us and we can convince the TGA to put it on the PBS.
would also say to be aware of your body. PrEP does have some side effects, although very minimal. Some of them, you know, liver injury potentially, and also bone demineralization. So it's important to do regular checkup and perhaps for the time being, take your vitamin D and calcium, especially if you're an age individual starting PrEP. Mm.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on our show, as always, Clovis. Thanks, Steve. Well, yes, certainly learned a few things tonight.
Thank you.
It's been pretty great. It is 16 minutes to 11. You are on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Everyone, Is Nothing Sacred, and we're talking about PrEP trials, and we've heard recently from Clovis Palmer and also Stephen Spencer. I spoke with Dr. Vincent Cornelis, who is a GP and also sexual health specialist working in the Paran area at Melbourne Sexual Health and various other locations in Paran. He had a few things to say about PrEP being obtained clinically in Melbourne.
Vincent, could you give our listeners a very brief overview of what observed clinical issues led to identifying need for establishing a PrEP and PEP trial originally here in the Melbourne community?
Yeah, I think the need became most apparent in the patients we were seeing for PEP, so post-exposure prophylaxis, because we had quite a few patients coming in repeatedly for PEP. And obviously that simply illustrated that they had ongoing risk for HIV acquisition. So we knew that there needed to be a different solution for these patients.
Great. And what are the differences between a PrEP approach and a PEP approach for the listeners who aren't really quite across that? Do the patient groups and protocols for using each vary?
Yeah, they're very different. I guess, obviously, both are medical techniques to reduce the risk of HIV transmission for people. And if you look at it a little bit simplistically, perhaps, but PEP is kind of like the morning after pill for HIV, and PrEP is kind of like being on the birth control for HIV. So PEP you take after you've had an exposure to HIV that you're worried about. PrEP you take every day, knowing that there is ongoing. So PrEP is taken every day by people who know that they have an ongoing risk for HIV acquisition.
Oh, that makes it pretty clear. And so have you struck any opposition to the implementation of PrEP provision here in Melbourne, particularly here in Victoria?
To be honest, I haven't personally had much opposition to a PrEP service provision. I do know that it allows them to be more sexually adventurous and take higher risk, and that in turn may result in higher rates of other sexually transmitted infections like syphilis and gonorrhea. I guess in reply to that concern, I think it's fair to say that the people that generally go on PrEP tend to be people who are already at very high risk for other sexually transmitted infections. So they already have a large number of sexual partners, and they have mainly casual sexual partners. So the chance of them getting another STI is quite high already, and I don't know how much you would elevate their risk of getting another STI by going on PrEP. So that's just one of the concerns. I mean, look, there are lots of international trials on PrEP, and the same question was addressed in those trials. You know, are people having, once they go on PrEP, do they have more sexual partners, and do they have more sexually transmitted infections? The data is a little bit conflicting. Some of the trials showed no increase, and some of the trials showed a slight increase, but certainly none of the trials have shown a massive increase in sexually transmitted infections amongst people going on PrEP, so I don't think it's a major concern.
Great. I've also heard that argument concerning third world countries, and I think that's probably a little bit of a furphy to put into a discussion of a trial to PrEP. Have you heard that one?
I mean, that would be a fair argument if there was a limit to how much of the drug could be produced globally, but I don't think that's a fair statement. I think, you know, the suppliers, the pharmaceutical companies will make how much drug is required to meet the need, as in how much demand there is.
Yeah, it's a bit like the eat all the food on your plate because the starving children in Africa might need it.
Yeah, so you should send it in an envelope.
Yes, right. Okay, gotcha. Look, you mentioned also, Vincent, that PrEP is not currently funded by the government. How does accessing a PrEP program work from a patient perspective clinically in that case? Where do they obtain the medications?
Yeah, so the situation is a little bit tricky at the moment in Australia. Just to put a global perspective on it, PrEP is approved by the FDA in the United States, so it's using Truvada as PrEP is an approved use of Truvada in the States. In Australia, the TGA, which is the equivalent of the FDA, the TGA has not approved the use of Truvada as PrEP in Australia. That's not because they are opposed to using PrEP, but it's simply because the application to have it approved by the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the TGA, that application was only put in recently, and so they're currently in the process of reviewing the evidence and coming to a decision. I don't want to preempt what the TGA is going to say, but given that the FDA has approved it, and they approved it some years ago, I don't see any reason why the TGA won't approve it. So the reason that's relevant is that we are currently operating in an environment where using Truvada as PrEP is an off-label use in Australia, which has a couple of implications in terms of medical consultations. It always makes doctors a little bit nervous to use a medication off-label. So in order to make sure that we do this safely and properly, we've implemented a protocol at a couple of our clinics so that we know that the people who are being enrolled in PrEP and who are receiving PrEP are also being monitored appropriately and are safe while they're on PrEP. So I think because of those restrictions, is in the lack of approval from the TGA, it is somewhat difficult to access PrEP in Victoria because there's only a couple of clinics around Victoria that are currently have protocols set up to provide PrEP. So that's one obstacle, but certainly, so we have a protocol here, and there's, as I said, there's a couple of other clinics around Victoria that also provide PrEP. So that's from the medical consultation point of view and monitoring point of view. Then to actually get the medication is a little bit difficult as well because, as I said, it's not approved by the Therapeutic Goods Administration for this use. So people cannot obtain their Truvada for PrEP at Australian pharmacies.
In Australia.
Yeah. So the only thing people can do is use their PrEP script to buy the Truvada from an overseas pharmacy.
Which is presumably their own decision and their own risk, etc.
Yeah, and there is certainly guidance on how to do that from the Australasian Society for HIV Medicine on their website. But it is just the process is a bit more involved than just going down to your corner pharmacy to get your medications.
And so in the process of doing all of that, you're then taking snapshots and observing what's going on with the use of this PrEP. And what are some of the early findings and ad hoc observations you've noted with the trials that have been conducted in that manner with PrEP?
Yeah, so again, there's lots of good data on PrEP from several international trials. I mean, the IPREX trial, the multinational IPREX trial is a good one, and the PROUD trial in London. I think the PROUD trial is probably the most relevant to what we're doing here because it was a real-world example of how you would manage people on PrEP, and that trial was conducted in, as I said, in London. And they found that people on PrEP... the people that took their PrEP the way it was intended and had appropriate follow-up, they had very low rates of HIV acquisition, particularly when you compare. So they had a delayed treatment arm and an immediate treatment arm. So the delay was 12 months, so that provided the delayed arm then provided a control group for the immediate treatment arm. And they found a massive reduction, an 83, I think it was, or 86% reduction in HIV risk in the treatment arm. So I guess the key message there is that PrEP works if you take it.
Preventing infections.
Yeah, so 86% reduction is massive. And that same similar findings have been found in IPREX and in IPAGAY, which are other international PrEP trials. The other findings, so what I sort of alluded to before, was that there was not a massive increase in sexually transmitted infections in the PrEP arm compared to the non-PrEP arm. And there was not a particularly high incidence of side effects from PrEP in the PrEP arm compared to the non-PrEP arm. I mean, people usually, if they start PrEP, there is a risk of getting a bit of nausea, a bit of diarrhea, a bit of tummy upset, some headaches, and maybe some tiredness, but it tends to settle down after.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Yes, you are, and it's Nothing Sacred on Joy 94.9, and this is the end of tonight's Radiothon show. So thank you, Claire, and thank you for that terrific interview with Vincent Cornelis. And thank you, Clovis, for coming in, and Steve and Spencer for coming in. And I think the one big takeaway message, isn't it, from the PrEP discussion is, if you want to know more about it, go and ask your doctor and make sure that your doctor is a good HIV doctor. So the HIV high caseload clinics, of which we can't really say who they are, but we can and we will. Either the Melbourne Sexual Health Centre in Carlton on Swanston Street or Paran Market Clinic, Northside Clinic. Go there, find a good HIV specialist doctor, and have a good talk to them about PrEP and find out if it's right for you or not. Thank you, Steph, for being on. And thank you, Patrick, for coming back.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a wonderful evening, and please donate to Radiothon, everyone.
Woo! Thanks so much to our guests.
You. And thank you to Robert Gibbs from MBS.
Have a great night.
Ta-ra.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.